Welcome to Inspiration in 10 for Parshat Vayeshev, where we share inspirational stories, Torah thoughts, and articles, Le'ilo Nishmat, in memory of my father, Harav Gershom ben Harav ben Sion. Candlelighting this week in South Surrey is 3:56 p.m. Today is also a very special day on the Jewish calendar. It's Yud Tet, the 19th. Of Kislev. Well, actually, tonight begins the 20th of Kislev, which is the day that the first Chabad Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman, who authored the Tanya, was freed from incarceration and was able to increase in spreading the light of Chassidut. Today is also the yard site of the Maggid of Mezrich, and Chassidim all over the world celebrate this day, wish each other a good Yontif, and Lashana Tova in the learning of Chassidut and in the ways of Chassidut. We get together, we inspire and re-inspire, and so good Yontif to all of you, and thank you for joining us. Some of the material that I present tonight is based on a class I heard years ago from Rabbi Yossi Jacobson, which is called, of course, from the talks of the Rebbe. A few days ago, I was on the phone with a very special friend of mine. She's a Holocaust survivor and a very dedicated grandmother. I congratulated her on the engagement of her granddaughter to a very fine Jewish boy who also grew up in B.C. We schmoozed for a while, and I marveled at the fact that, thank God, all her grandchildren were dating nice Jewish boys or girls, and she said very simply, I sure let them know that the alternative is not acceptable. And of course, I reminded her that I had once heard her say, in jest, that was quite serious, they know if they marry out, I'll kill them. This week, we read in the Torah about Yosef, the son of Yaakov and Rachel, who was torn from his father and sold into slavery by his brothers. With his wisdom and his godly spirit and, of course, his Yiddish achim, he climbed the Egyptian corporate ladder and was the chief administrator in the home of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife was besotted with the beautiful Yosef, and she tried every which way to get Yosef's attention. Yosef refused her advances daily. The desperate woman devised a plan. When all of the household went out for a day of religious worship, she stayed home knowing that this would be her opportunity to corner Yosef. The Torah tells us that Yosef came la'asot melachto, to do his business. What was his business? The commentaries tell us that Yosef came with the mindset that this time he wouldn't refuse. He would take care of business. Remember, the wife of Potiphar holds his future in her hands. But then the Medrash tells us that he saw Dimut Yokno Shel Aviv, the image of his father, and it stopped him. Was this some sort of telepathic message or a text or a WhatsApp? Let's understand firstly why this entire ugly or unholy story, or at least seemingly unholy story, needed to be recorded in the Torah. What sort of message do we need to glean from it? If the Torah is recording the details of the Jews landing up in Egypt so that we can learn about the Exodus from Egypt, are these details really necessary? Couldn't the Torah say, Yosef got sold to a band of Yishmaelim, they in turn sold him to Potiphar, he got into trouble with his boss, and he landed in an Egyptian prison and continue from there? Let's do a little psychological profile of Yosef. He was orphaned at age 11 from his mother. He was hated by his brothers. His father thought he was dead. He was sold to the Yishmaelim. He was now a slave in Egypt who didn't even own his own body or have control over his own time. A person in such a situation can often think, what I do doesn't make one bit of a difference to anyone. A normal person in such a situation would be desperate and very lonely. If he gave in to this woman, it's not as if he'd have a wife or a community to face afterwards. And most importantly, she held his fate in her hands. She had the power to make his life, heaven, or hell on earth, which he actually did later on. What did the wife of Potiphar do? It says, she grabbed him with his clothes. And as the saying goes, clothes makes the man. Clothes are a disguise. In fact, Chassidus teaches us that beged, the word for clothes, can also be read as bogade, traitor, because clothes can really mask our inner essence. The garments and the personas that we enclose ourselves in can mask our true selves. And this was the tactic that Mrs. Potiphar was using. She grabbed him by his clothes, meaning she questioned him, who are you already? Don't put yourself on a pedestal. You're just flesh and blood. And you, what you do doesn't really matter. Why not give in to earthly pleasures? Yosef's at a crossroads, and he knows if he gives in, he could have a much more peaceful life without it affecting anyone. And that's when the Medrash tells us what stopped him. He saw his father's image. What was it about his father's image that prevented him from making such a colossal mistake? And it caused him to run away, leaving his coat of many colors in her hands. The image of Yaakov made him quickly realize that we are much more than our exteriors, much more than our garments. My essence, he felt, my holy soul being the son of Yaakov, that even this woman who can make my life on earth miserable cannot take away. He left his coat, he left his exterior garment with her, and he ran outside where one can see the heavens, the stars. And he knew he is on a higher plane. As children, as parents, grandparents, thank God, we can understand the power that the image of Yaakov had on Yosef. What kind of an impact does our image have on our families? What kind of an impact did our parents and grandparents make on us? Are we just handing them the DNA or the genes, which determine their hair color or their skin type? Or are we leaving messages which will help them when they come to a fork in the road of life? Are we merely taking them on road trips to the Rocky Mountains? Or are we equipping them to climb the right mountains in life? Many have heard you speak about my parents and my grandparents who have taught and teach me by example which mountains are worth the climb. They took their roles as links in a strong chain very seriously. They knew that certain lessons had to come through very clearly, even if they would not win a popularity contest for it. As many of you have heard me say, if I don't make a certain food on Shabbos, I can hear my grandmother calling me from the grave and saying, why are you doing it this way? This is not the way you do it. Azay fert menzech. Of course, there's room for flexibility in certain arenas, but parents and grandparents have the power to inculcate values and messages that can go forth from generation to generation. Yaakov's image was also the same image as the first man, Adam. When Yosef saw Yaakov, he envisioned the first man. And when Adam was given the command to eat from the tree and he transgressed, he and Chava changed the course of history in one moment. This was the clear lesson that impacted Yosef. In one instant, one man, by transgressing, changed the course of the world forever, and it had many ramifications. Yosef realized, yes, what I do does make a difference. I may think I'm one lonely Jew in Egypt, but what I do is interlaced with what happens with the rest of the world. Environmentalists get this. They say that if a bird eats the wrong food in China, it affects our water in BC. Yosef saw that what Adam had done changed the course of history. Our lifelong pursuit as humanity is to get back to the state of Adam before the sin. And he realized that the choice he would make now would be interlaced with humanity and impact the world negatively or positively. So two very important lessons are driven home to us by the fact that this sordid story of Yosef and the wife of Potiphar are mentioned. Firstly, we're reminded of the awesome responsibility we have as parents, grandparents, teachers, mentors, to leave messages which will impact the future generations. When faced with our own challenges, we have to bring to mind the image of a great parent, grandparent, Rebbe, teacher, mentor, and try to analyze what would they do in such situations. And in fact, that's why many of us have a photo of a great Rebbe or a grandfather or someone who left a great message for us. In addition, by Yosef remembering his father and Adam's image, we are reminded that birth is God's way of saying you matter. We're told that at every given moment, we are to picture the entire cosmos, including all of humanity, on an even plateau. The action we take has the power to tip the scale positively or negatively. By refraining, Yosef taught us that no matter where we are or how alone we feel, with one good deed, we can change the world for the better, as well as the opposite being true with any negative actions. We are much more than our exteriors. We have the power to reach lofty heights. There's much more to glean from the life of Yosef, and Bezrat Hashem, we will endeavor to do so at another time. Next Thursday, as many of you know, will be the Hanukkah program, and we will not have our conference call. I will keep you posted as to whether we have a recording, which I make without the conference call. Good Shabbos and good Yontif to all of you. Remember, candlelighting in Surrey is 3:56. Have an illuminating and inspiring Hanukkah. Thank you for elevating the airways together with me tonight. I'm going to unmute you.